The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam. Second Canto, Chapter Number 7, Text Number 50. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasat Hikari. Recorded on December 14th, 2016, in Phoenix, Mauritius.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sa ayam te abhihita tata Bhagavan Vishvabhavana Samasena Hari Na Anyat Anyasmat Sat Asat Cha Yat Soyam Te Bhitas Tata Bhagavan Vishvabhavana Samasena Harer Nanyad Anyasmat Sadasat Chayat Soyam Te Bhitas Tata Bhagavan Vishvabhavana Samasena Harer Nanyad Anyasmat Sadasach Chayat Sa
that
Ayam the same Te unto you Abhihita explained by me. Tata, my dear son, Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead, Vishvabhavana, the creator of the manifested worlds, Samasena, in brief, Hare, without Hari, the Lord, Na, never. Anyat, anything else. Anyasmat, being the cause of. Sat, manifested or phenomenal. Asat, noumenal. Cha, and yat, whatever there may be. Translation in purport. By His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. My dear son, I have now explained in brief the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is creator of the manifested worlds. Without Him, Hari, the Lord, there are no other causes of the phenomenal and noumenal existences. Purport. Since we generally have the experience of the temporary material world and conditioned souls trying to lord it over the material worlds, Brahmaji explained to Narada Deva that this temporary world is the work of the external potency of the Lord, and that the conditioned souls struggling here for existence are the marginal potency of the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead. There is no cause for all these phenomenal activities but Him, Hari, the Supreme Lord, who is the primeval cause of all causes. This does not mean, however, that the Lord Himself is distributed impersonally. He is aloof from all these interactions of the external and marginal potencies. In the Bhagavad Gita 9.4, it is confirmed, but by His potencies alone, He is present everywhere and anywhere. Everything that is manifested rests on His potency only, but He, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is always aloof from everything. The potency and the potent are simultaneously one and different from one another. One should not deprecate the Supreme Lord for the creation of this material world, just as one should not blame the king for creating a prison house in the government. The prison house is a necessary institution of the governmental establishment for those who are disobedient to the laws of the government. Similarly, this material world full of miseries is a temporary creation of the Lord for those who have forgotten him and are trying to lord it over the false manifestation. He, however, is always anxious to get the fallen souls back home, back to Godhead, and for this he has given so many chances to the conditioned souls via the authoritative scriptures, his representatives, and personal incarnations also. Since he has no direct attachment to this material world, he is not blamed for its creation. So, it is very clearly described here. What is the cause for this material existence? You can't blame Krishna. It's our blame. We wanted to try to be separate from Krishna. So instead of annihilating us, which he could have done, he doesn't want to annihilate us because he knows that he can bring us back to that loving relationship that we once had with him. So instead of wiping us out because we're rascals, he reforms us. So this is Krishna's great kindness. Actually, Krishna is very desirous of having that loving relationship with us. And just like the parents, they're very affectionate towards their children. And they want that loving relationship with their children. So in a similar way, Krishna is the original parent, and he wants to have that loving relationship with us. Therefore, he is giving us all facility how to get out of this quagmire of material existence in which we are so much entangled for millions and billions and trillions and quadrillions of light years. We're so much entangled in this unbelievably hectic quagmire. But Krishna is just doing everything he can to convince us to come back to him. Some ask, well, why doesn't he just force us to come back? Well, that's not very satisfying. You can't force somebody to love you, you see. I put a gun in your head and say, okay, love me or I'll blow your brains out. Can you love such a person? You see? Not possible. But if I give you my love and leave it up to you whether you want to love me in return or not, you see, then you can actually love. So that is God. That is Krishna. He could force us. He's all powerful. He can do anything. He's under no laws. He's the maker of all the laws. But because of that desire that he has to have a loving relationship with us, he gives us full freedom to love him or to leave him. So now it's up to us become a little intelligent, you see. We've been carrying on in this foolishness for millions and billions of lifetimes. It's up to us now to become a little intelligent and realize, what are we doing here? Trying to enjoy separately. It's like the hand trying to, you know, enjoy the gulab jamun separately by squeezing it in the fingers, you see. Trying to become a little sober, a little intelligent, you see. The difficulty is, in this material world, everybody is bewildered by the false sense of overlordship, by the false sense of being able to enjoy separately from Krishna. They're eating the forbidden apple, like in the Bible, you see. Eve wanted to taste that forbidden apple. That forbidden apple is, I am the enjoyer, I am God, I am the center. Instead of acknowledging the Supreme Person They want to be the Supreme Person, you see. That is the disease. I want to be the Supreme. And this is the great delusion of Mayavadi philosophy. In the name of spiritual realization, they are simply tightening the knot, Hridaya Granthi, the hard knot in the heart. Yes, you are God. They're so tricky, they're so deceptive. I was reading on one website, the disciples of this Mayavadi guru, they were saying, oh, our Guru Maharaj is so humble. He never says, Aham Brahmasmi, I am God. That's how they translate Aham Brahmasmi. He says, Tattvamasmi, you are all God. Just see how realized he is. He never says he is God. He only says that we are God. You see? So in this way, my very expert, clever word jugglery and theatrics, these rascals are going on. You see? So if someone is not educated, they can become carried away by this. Just like myself, the first book I got about Indian philosophies, self-realization, was called The Book. The subtitle was On the Taboo Against Knowing Who You Are. In this book, the author said, actually, you are God. But now you're playing hide and go seek with yourself, so simply come out of hiding and be God once again. So someone who doesn't know, you see, say, well, wow, that's pretty cool. I'm God. I didn't realize it. Wow, I'm God. You see? People in this way, people are deluded, you see. This is why this Hare Krishna movement is so important. Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nivishesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Desha Taline. This Western countries, and now Western countries all over the whole planet, it's so full of impersonalism and voidism. Voidism, just think Dr. Stephen Hawking, he teaches this principle. Everything comes out of absolutely nothing. He's teaching voidism. So, and people are applauding him as the biggest brain, the greatest scientist. He has now realized that everything comes out of nothing. Wow, what a great realization he has had. He's so advanced in his brain to understand what we common folk can understand, that everything comes out of nothing. And they think he's the greatest scientist. You see? So in this way, the world is so much deluded. The pundits are voidists. They're impersonalists. And the politicians are simply trying to promise, whoever promises the most gratification of the senses, they become elected. You see? It's a fool's paradise. It's a horrible, quagmire-ish disaster going on all over the world right now. And there's no hope except for this Gauranga's mission. This is the only hope of the suffering humanity. So therefore we, the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the followers of Srila Prabhupada, we must very tightly embrace within our hearts this mission, the world deliverance mission. Srila Prabhupada told us in Los Angeles, he said, become perfect in understanding the science of Krishna, become guru, and deliver the whole world. So we have our quota, our Sankirtan quota. I remember in my old days, we had a quota. Well, you have to do so many books today. That's your quota out on Sankirtan. So Prabhupada has given us the quota to deliver the whole world. That is our, then our mission is successful. You see, when all the high court judges are wearing tilak. So how much we have to then focus on purifying ourselves, that we're going to become potent for actually Krishnizing the whole global society, as Srila Prabhupada has ordered us to do, then we have to begin that spiritual revolution right here in our own hearts. All that lust that anger, that greed, that madness, illusion, that envy, craziness, laziness, all that crud which is encrusting our hearts, you see. We have to very diligently remove it by quality hearing, quality chanting, quality remembering, quality serving, etc. We have to burn away all that nonsense, you see. So we can actually do our duty that Prabhupada has given us to be potent agents for the Krishnaization of this planet. As we sing every morning, Bahir Nasingha Hridaye Nasingha. Srila Prabhupada elaborates what is the actual meaning of these words in his purport in the fifth canto. He expands it like this. May Lord Nrsingadev dwell within my heart, killing all of my bad propensities, so that my heart may become fully clean, and that I can then bring peace to the entire world. So, Nrsinga within, Nrsinga without. Krishnaization within, Krishnaization without. Spiritual revolution within, and spiritual revolution without. We want that everyone should become Krishna conscious. This is the desire of the Vaishnavas. They cannot tolerate to see people in suffering conditions. We take up this mood of compassion to save the poor souls of this world. Srila Prabhupada becomes very, very pleased. I know, as a young devotee, I had the opportunity to correspond with Prabhupada many times. And the most pleasurable, Prabhupada showed me the most pleasure in his reply to my letters. When I one time had said that how the people here, that actually our center in Austin, they wanted to close it. But Prabhupada had ordered me to make the Austin Center a grand success. So thinking, well, if they close the center, how can I serve his order to make the center a success? So I wrote Prabhupada. I said, Prabhupada, they want to close the center, but I'm willing to stick it out here because these people are really suffering for lack of Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada was so pleased. He wrote me the most wonderful letter. He was so pleased. I was concerned about the people suffering for lack of Krishna consciousness. For the many letters I got, I never saw so much pleasure. Prabhupada expressed so much pleasure in what I had written, and I had been written that I was... that these people are so much suffering for lack of Krishna consciousness, so therefore we have to do something to help them. You see? So this is how we can really please our spiritual master. This is how we can really please Srila Prabhupada. If we have this mood that these people here in Mauritius, these people here on this earth planet, these people in India or wherever we may be, you see, these people are so much suffering without Krishna consciousness. Therefore, I have to do something. I can't just ignore their plight. I can't be apathetic to their situation. I have to dedicate myself to doing everything possible to awakening these people from the slumber they're in, the nightmare they're caught up in, you see. This kind of a mood is the most pleasing mood also to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Prabhupada explains in his purport in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that Lord Chaitanya is in great anxiety to see the suffering soul so much caught up in delusion. And any devotee who also takes up this mood of being in anxiety about the plight of the conditioned souls, he's actually relieving Lord Chaitanya. He's sharing that burden. He's relieving him a part of his burden. He's sharing that anxiety with Lord Chaitanya and therefore becomes very, very, very dear to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, this is our perfection. If we can learn how to be in complete, total anxiety about the plight of the conditioned souls in this planet, you see. You may say, but Prabhu, I thought Hare Krishna is supposed to be blissful. Chant and be happy. Now you're telling me chant, be miserable. That's contradictory. No, from material point, yes. From material viewpoint, yes, it is completely contradictory. How do you become blissful? Becoming miserable. But Krishna consciousness is transcendental. The fact is, the more you become miserable about the plight of the conditioned souls in this world, the more you relish the sweetest transcendental pleasure within your heart. So if you really want to taste the bliss, just become as miserable as you can possibly be about the suffering condition of the souls on this planet. Little insider secret there. Miserable as hell. That's when you really start to enter into transcendental bliss. Prabhupada would cry when he saw the children. In Mayapur, they're throwing out the leaf plates with the little remnants of Vishadam from the devotees. The children were so much hungry. They were fighting with the dogs to get some of that, to eat off those thrown away plates. Prabhupada was crying to see the suffering condition. Also in Melbourne, on the morning walk in the park, they were walking during the morning rush hour. Prabhupada was actually feeling great sorrow in his heart to see all these commuters heading in for another day of slavery in their offices. So in this way, we have to imbibe this mood of Srila Prabhupada, this mood of Lord Chaitanya, this mood of compassion upon the fallen souls of this world. By doing so, then our ticket back to home is confirmed. Our seat is reserved on the Vaikuntha airplane back to Krishna. So if there's any questions, try to answer them. Hearing about impersonalism, I understood that I don't follow the teachings as it is. Instead, add or subtract something, then it's like impersonalism of existing parampara, neglecting their existence and teachings. Yeah, the impersonalists are rascals. They completely distort the actual meaning of the scriptures. And if we also distort, we add or subtract something to the teachings, then we are also rascals. Therefore, as it is essential. In the mundane world, to become recognized as a great scientist or a great philosopher, you have to give something different. You have to deviate from everyone else. You have to show that you have something different. You see? But in learned circles, Vaishnava circles, actual realization means those who strictly follow the parampara, to present it as it is, without any addition or subtraction. Of course, it is presented desha kalapatra, according to time, place, and circumstance. It's not that one just a parrot, he just, without any consideration of the audience or the circumstance, he just parrots the philosophy. No, he's very expert at seeing the demeanor of the listeners, the audience. He tunes in to where they're at and tailor fits the message exactly for them at that particular moment, you see. That is Acharya. He's very expert at time, place, and circumstance. Prabhupada generally talks about Krishna so much. Krishna, you hear him say Krishna again and again. I saw one lecture, he just talked about God the whole time because it was the audience, you see. You have to tune into your audience. You have to find out how can I present Vaishnava Siddhanta in such a way that this audience become purified, that this audience become elevated in their consciousness. Whether you're talking to devotees or non-devotees, the same principle. You have to tailor fit the message for the audience. I did not feel miserable at the world condition today. I have no compassion how to feel it. Even if you don't feel it, if you just act in the order of one who does feel it, namely Srila Prabhupada, and preach this message on the order of Srila Prabhupada and Prabhupada's representatives, if you just act dutifully, you see, distribute the books, Harinam Sankirtan, cultivating people, even if you don't feel the compassion, go ahead and act on the order of Guru and Krishna. And the feelings of compassion will awaken within your heart. They're already there. They're just buried. You act dutifully, they will manifest in due course. People are suffering due to a lack of Krishna consciousness. Why they cannot take it seriously even when coming in contact with Krishna consciousness. Manushanam sahasreshu kashtid yatati siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kashtin vang miti tatvataha. Out of thousands among men, one may endeavor for perfection. And out of a thousand who endeavor for perfection, hardly even one knows me in truth. This is the way it works. If we can attract 1,000 people to come, you see, one will become interested. That's the statistics given by Krishna. But Lord Chaitanya's mercy is actually everyone can be awakened by his mercy. So the reason the very few can actually take to it, the material nature is so much conquered them and captivated their whole culture. They're completely caught up in Maya. I just think back to the culture I grew up in America in the 50s and 60s. I mean, the culture completely engrosses you. You get totally wrapped up in that culture. And to come out of it is very difficult. Because there is that saying, misery enjoys company, or everybody wants to keep you down in the hole that they're in. So you try to get out of it, just like that example of the Socrates. He's given one example. Plato actually wrote this. And there is one cave deep down in the earth, very far, way down in the earth. And these men are strapped, they're chained to the rock, and there's some shadow display on the wall. And that's all they can see. Everything else is dark. All they see is a shadow display on the wall, and they think that shadow display to be the reality. They take that to be the reality. So somehow or other, one of the prisoners got loose from his chains. He wandered around in the dark. He stumbled and fumbled and somehow made his way to the light. At first he was dazzled by it. He couldn't handle all the bright light, but then gradually he got adjusted to being out in the daylight. And he could see the beautiful world all around. And he thought all those poor fellows down there in the strapped to the rock, seeing the dancing display on the wall. He went down to tell them about it. They thought he was insane. They wouldn't hear it, you see. So they think we're crazy. Bunch of nuts, religious fanatics, talking about the spiritual world, talking about God. Are you crazy, man? Don't you know there's no God? The scientists will confirm there's no God. What are you talking about, man? Are you crazy? You see, they're totally bewildered by it. So to bring someone out of it is not easy. Not easy thing. But by the purification of holy names, prasadam, by the compassion of the devotee, befriending them and trying to help them, some few people can come out of it. And by Chaitanya's mercy, the whole world can come out of it. What is noumenal? There's phenomenal and noumenal, which is spiritual and material. Why is it that we have a tendency to be as judgmental towards others? Because we still think we're God. That's the problem. How is it that sometimes medically dead people return to life again? Because there's no such thing as dead. No one is ever dead. Nobody ever dies. Najayate mriyate vakadachin nayang bhubhava pitava vaduya ajo nityang shashvato yang parano nahanyate hanyamane sarire. For the soul, there is never birth nor death at any time. He does not come into being, will not come into being, and does not come into being. He is unborn, ever existing, undying, and primeval. He is not slain when the body is slain. So your medical death, there's no such thing as death. What we call death is simply a change of the body. That's a terrorists are mercilessly taking the lives of the innocent human beings. What is the spiritual interpretation of this phenomenon, karma? If you terrorize other living entities, you will be terrorized. So tell me that we are not terrorized. We are not all. Our whole culture is not a terroristic culture because we're murdering 156 million innocent animals every day. 150. Tell me the whole culture is not terrorist culture. Tell me the governments of this planet on this planet right now are not terrorist governments who are allowing 156 million innocent animals to be slaughtered every day and 66,000 babies are being slaughtered every day. Tell me that the governments are not terroristic. The whole culture is terrorists, is it? So if so much terror is being inflicted upon innocent babies and innocent animals, do you think by the laws of karma you may sometimes have things happening like a terrorist attack? It's a karmic reaction. That's so. If you commit terrorism, you'll be the victim of terrorism. Our society is committing terrorism like anything, and innocent animals and innocent babies. Therefore, it is natural they're going to have terrorist attacks upon them, whether it's the World Trade Center or whatever it may be. It's natural. It's just karma. You want to put a stop to terrorism? Stop and close down the slaughterhouses and the abortion clinics. Do you want to shut down terrorism? Now, there are many people I know who say that even they are drinking and eating meat, they will go to hell and come back reformed. Yes, we agree. You'll come back as an animal. By eating meat, you have to take a very severe punishment in the hellish regions. And you will be reformed to some extent.
Still have some left, so you come back as an animal to continue getting more of to get more reformed. Yes, hell does reform. It does purify you of sinful reactions when you go to hell. And then, for whatever you have not yet burned off, you come back in another form here in this world as an animal, as a plant, and again continue suffering. You become even more reformed from the reactions of your sinful activity. Any other questions? Here we have some from the internet. I read in Srimad Bhagavatam that those who worship Vishnu are in the mode of goodness. Those who worship Brahma are in the mode of passion, and those who worship Shiva are in the mode of ignorance. I understood it, but there is one thing in my mind that isn't. Who are demigod worshippers? And they are pious people and all count in the mode of goodness. Where's the demigod worshipers? She read the demigod worshipers. Well, we don't see such demigod worshipers nowadays. We see people very much in passion and ignorance. The Kali Yuga. It's an age of passion, mostly ignorance and a little passion. Any other questions?
Before that.
Before that, there was a question? Okay. Okay. How to differ? differentiate between those who do charity work for feeding the hungry, and those who say Dravidra Narayan. Well, they're basically birds of the same feather. However, the ones who just feed the hungry out of feeling sorry for them, and the ones who say they're all Narayan, they are worse. They're in a worse position. If I feed you because you're hungry, there's some piety there. But if I say, oh, you're Narayan, and I want to serve you, that is a very deluded thing. Better to be an innocent person who just feeds the poor than to be someone who says everyone is Narayan. So I want to serve the poor Narayans on the street corner, giving them something to eat. Better to be a charity giver than the Dravidra Narayan Badmi. Okay, if a disciple leaves his body before his spiritual master, does his spiritual master know in which corner of the existence the disciple has landed? The spiritual master, if no, what is the use of surrendering to the guru? The spiritual master is not Krishna. However, he is the well-wisher of the disciple, and he's dedicating himself, even if he has to take birth again, to deliver his disciples, he's willing to do that. He's committed himself completely to do whatever it takes to deliver this particular soul from the clutches of Maya. He's committed himself, even if he has to take 1,000 births for each and every disciple, he's committed himself to that. It's a very heavy commitment to give diksha. So, Krishna within the heart of the spiritual master will give him whatever he needs to know about the disciple in order to do his service to the spiritual master. It's not that he has to know every little detail, although my disciple just brushed his teeth, he just went to the bathroom, he left school. And the spiritual master needs to know, be like a super soul, he has to see every little thing his disciple is doing at every minute. It's not necessary. He just needs to be sincerely desiring to deliver that soul from the cycle of birth and death. And then Krishna will give him whatever he needs to know about that disciple. Anything else? If not, we will stop here. And we thank you all very much for your attending Bhagavatam class. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Guru Nandini.
Jai.